afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt it, well, yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
At least that's what Harvey Westmoreland and his brother Joseph used to think about former friends Troy Halt and James Hill. That was before May of last year on Willisburg Road, where Halt used to live.
My brother was cleaning out the stalls out there for Troy, you know, working for him. And they called, want me to come around there. Well, when I get there, I realize that they're already drunk.
And of all things to fight about, Westmoreland says, punches started flying over this lawnmower.
Troy offered to buy it from me for $250. I paid $20 for it. He thought I was trying to cheat him. One thing led to another, and before I knowed it, there was knives and guns and everything just went haywire.
He says his brother had a mark on his neck where a knife was held. But Westmoreland's loss was more permanent.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
He says Halt and Hill let them go, but threatened them.
If we called the police, they said we would not live to see daylight.
But that wasn't enough to keep the two brothers from calling 911.
I believe in the law. I believe that justice has been served. And you know, it will be after Tuesday.
That's the sentencing date. And while it'll take some time for some things to grow back to normal,
it's not as long as it was.
Westmoreland says what's more important, he and his brother lived to tell the tale.
I was actually in fear for my life.
Morning, everybody. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. I have a contact. I can't tell if it's in my left eye or if it's not in my left eye, and I can't see.
So you don't know if it's falling out or not?
No, it like my eye is irritated.
Okay,
so it makes me think that the contact's in there, but I can't tell. I hate that. I hate when you have both contacts in and then you start driving and then one of the contacts... I can see enough to drive, but it's going to be a pain in the ass all morning.
How do you fix that? I've never had contacts before. Is it something you... Can you flush it underwater or...
Oh, yeah, you get a nice stream of water and stick your eye in there.
I don't know. No, I actually have no idea. How do you fix it?
It works its way out. The human body rejects things. It rejects what you need. All right. By the way, my wife this morning told me, because we have a puppy, she says, don't turn on any lights. When you go downstairs, don't turn on any lights.
We'll wake the puppy up?
Yeah. Like, don't wake the puppy up. Like, just go about your business without turning on any lights.
Just break your legs falling down the stairs.
As if there's nothing to grab. There's nothing to see. Just you know, walk around in the pitch black. Don't you dare turn on the light.
If only you could keep the dog from barking so I can stay asleep.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't turn on any lights. Well, you know, genius, you could put a blanket over the crate. You know, there's a lot of things that you could do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the dog couldn't be bothered. The dog looked at me and it didn't care. I just like the idea that, this is an inconvenience for me. So, please don't turn on any lights. God, my life is so marginalized. The idea that before you leave for the job that puts the roof over our heads, don't sit, dig, palm around for stuff in the pitch black because the dog might whimper if you leave.
And that would be just the end of it.
Yeah.
And then no one can live with that.
No.
Yeah.
Why would I need light? And now I'm being asked to live my life without light. That's the last thing. Is that's the topper to everything. I'm not deserving of light in my life. So what's the deal with this storm? What are we? Are we going to die or what's happening?
Well, I mean, it's changed to 3 to 6 inches here in Boston.
Wait, when did that happen?
Yesterday afternoon.
Yeah,
and then
one projection at noon had less amounts. Now they're back to more amounts. And I was on the 6-inch line, but now I'm squarely in the middle of the 6 to 10-inch line.
Wait.
The heavier snow is moving closer to Boston now.
Wait, but when did no? Because yesterday afternoon, last evening, it was 1 to 3 inches.
Yes, they've changed it.
It went back and forth. And so right now it is, I'm looking at Boston is still, so it's like 3 to 6. WBZ has it at 3 to 6 in Boston.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking at Fox. Let me see Fox.
And I'm sure that there are definite clashings of theories on how
there
much snow
is
going to be. Yep.
It'll be really bad from about noon to midnight. And then it'll wind down.
All right, because, it's supposed to be all right at noon. According to this, travel conditions at noon are supposed to be fine. So, I don't know. Well, I got to see what's going on. This doesn't have a map.
All I know is that our new office that we're going to be moving to, that's in South Boston, apparently, the road to access it has been underwater for like a week.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it's why they built
a place there is fascinating.
Yeah, there's no getting in and out.
No, why they built in, first of all, why they built in Dorchester is fascinating. Why they said, you know what, it wasn't Beasley, it was Greater Media, but Beasley bought the company and moved in there. But it's fascinating to me that that Greater Media said, let's build in Dorchester. First of all, it's so convenient for everyone to get there. It's just
convenient for me.
Well, yeah,
good I mean, for you.
It's like closer than here, even though this is close. But I mean, if you live in the city, it's close.
No, well, if you have to take 93, it's a cluster F. I mean, it's the worst intersection. It's the worst. I believe that 93 north or there is the most trafficked road in all of Boston.
Yeah, but the time we work, it's nothing north.
Well,
of the road,
that's
so.
Well. In the we'll check it at noon. It's a consistent red if you in the traffic things. So first of all, it's in Dorchester, which I have no idea why anyone would build anything there. And second of all, it's consistently underwater.
That is strange. Like, I mean, that road, does it flood all the time?
I would imagine if it's flooding now, it floods all the time.
It's a dumb question. How do you get to work? Like if the road that is in front of your place is flooded
and they won't let you in.
Yeah, how do you get there?
I'm sure Wiggins is listening. He can, you know, he'll text you. Say
Wiggs out. Wiggs out. I'm sure he'll let me know.
Wiggs out.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, by the way, 1 to 3 inches along 195 from Boston to Providence. Is what they're saying.
Yeah, but then north of what looks like Hingham, it's supposed to be 3 to 6.
Fine, but that's not me.
Sure it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're north of Hingham, of course.
No, 1 to 3 along I-95 from Boston to Providence. So I'm east of I-95 Boston. So I don't get the snow. Which has been the consistent, I don't know what forecast you guys have been seeing.
I'm just looking at WBZ.
I just was watching the WBZ morning news.
Well, BZ is wrong. So, I mean, school's happening today. Mm-hmm. That tells me all I need to know.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything too crazy for here.
Right, 1 to 3 inches.
You're getting slammed if you're like Worcester.
Yeah, Worcester, the schools are closed. Yeah, I knew it. 1 to 3, this is nothing. This is a rain-snow mix. It's too hot. It's too warm. It's 35 degrees right now. Got to have 32 degrees, baby, for that snow to stick. That's what you need. But yes, this new station, I'm dreading it. I'm dreading going there. I really am. I don't want it at all.
The facility itself is nice. Like, they got like a cafeteria. Yeah.
No way.
Like in the morning, you could get real food.
No way.
There's real food there.
Wow.
When does it open?
It's open. It's going to have vending machines. Like, and with real things in it. There's fruit vending machines.
Wow. That's great.
There's like real breakfast food.
In a vending machine?
Yes.
Well, that's gross.
Like cereal and milk?
Wow.
Yes. Wow is yes. Wow yes, is, yes.
I'll give that a wow.
I'll take it. There's nothing here. Literally nothing except for coffee, which is wow, there's a, sometimes there, here or not.
Sometimes milk. We don't have cups here. I mean,
well, that was taken
that's been
care
changed, of course. But
there's
times.
Sandwiches.
In a vending machine?
They have like a, the sandwiches are stocked. So I think there's like a, it's like a frozen type thing. I saw it. It was
disgusting.
Blown away.
That's I'll like going to a gas station and buying a sandwich.
Pretty much, yes. It's like what you get at a gas station, what you can buy there, like yogurt and cereal and stuff like that. That's what they have there, and I'm well, cool with that.
Well, that's worth going to Dorchester, that they have stupid milk in a machine. Well, that's great, because I couldn't get together to have cereal. It's like I couldn't get cereal. I couldn't find my way around the.
So let's recap.
You can always bring breakfast, but we don't always do that.
Or you could eat it before.
Fred had to stumble around in the dark, and his eyes upsetting him. Is that about right?
Yeah.
For the morning.
No, but also I refused to go. All right. Well, this place rules. It has cereal and a vending machine.
Sure. We also have a nice big office.
Oh boy, it's in Dorchester. Everything you're saying
but after
means
you
nothing.
Get there, Fred, it's all roses.
Yeah, right. Because we're in a room for 4 hours and then another room for an hour.
Mm-hmm. And the room we're going to be in and when we get to Dorchester, we'll have a window.
Let me talk to this guy. I want to see if it's always flooded. Because, I mean, just in the couple of months since we've known that we're going to be working there, it's been flooded, what, 3 times to where you can't get in and out?
All right, well, this is going to make us run late. Doug, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, how you doing? Yeah, there is a puddle because I go that way to the supermarket, but you can walk around it. And there's also JFK Madison VTA station. If you can't drive or anything like that, you just walk down the hill in back of the supermarket. That doesn't flood and you can go right to your office.
Yeah, but, I would love to take the train. Unfortunately, it's in the crack of ass. But there's cereal.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Rich, what happened last evening?
Mark the Red Wings is just another victim of the nose-face killer.
Puck hit the linesman, so it's free to the Bruins. Over the line, near side, now Riley Nash, near circle, into the slot. Krug shoots. Howard the save, rebound, backhand. They score!
No Bergeron, no McAvoy, no problem, because Brad Marchand went nuts once again and wins it in overtime for the Bruins 6-5. It only took 34 seconds into OT for Marchand to end this one, his second overtime game winner since Saturday. But it wasn't just in overtime that Marchand was killer. Nope. That was just the goal that secured his third career hat trick.
Now Pastrnak, near circle, shoots. Howard the save. It almost rolled up on him. Rebound spotted wide by Marchand. They score! Brad Marchand followed up his own shot. He banked it in off of Jimmy Howard, and it glanced inside the near post.
So not only did Marchand have a hat trick, but he also was the setup man on both of Torrey Krug's goals as well. So he now leads the team in both goals with 28 and assists with 38. You want to talk about the MVP discussion? You know, maybe Patrice Bergeron's kind of moving towards the back, especially with the injury.
And there's maybe no way that Marchand wins the Hart Trophy.
He probably won't because there's a few people running away with it right now.
Kucherov's having a pretty damn good year for Tampa Bay.
But as far as like on this team, the discussion with Bergeron was in there. You got to start thinking, well, I mean, on this team at least, I think Marchand's probably the better of the two this season. Well, Jake DeBrusk scored the game's other goal. The Bruins are now 8-8 in overtime games this season, but that seems like a bad, old, outdated stat, because almost every time they go in overtime, the way Marchand has been playing, he has been almost automatic. So here he is afterwards talking about his big game.
We rely on everyone on this team. The D have been stepping up huge lately, really contributing, which is very hard to defend against. So when we're able to rely on all the forwards and all the D to produce, it makes you a very dangerous team.
Yeah, Char was pretty bad.
The defense was terrible.
Yeah, Char was pretty awful last night.
Well, I felt so sorry for Anton Khudobin. I really did. They gave him no help. And you can't blame him for those last three goals.
No.
I mean, they were just guys skating alone all over the place at the defensive end.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for him. Yeah. By the way, getting back to Brad Marchand, I saw a stat last night. 103 goals in his last 209 games. That's crazy.
He's underpaid. They got him at a deal. They got him at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's hard on the puck, but this defense, like we heard yesterday, all they have to do is be 500 on the way in, and they got Toronto. So just be 500. Take every one of these wins. You know, you have the luxury of letting McAvoy heal. You have the luxury of letting Bergeron heal. You have the luxury of, even if Rask's injury is very, very minor, of not playing him. So the ultimate goal is to be healthy going into the playoffs.
They also have to take care of business at home. I think they have a run after this where they play 8 road games and 9 games. I mean, you pay for it on the other side. You get 6 straight home games.
Right, but when you only have to be 500 and you have a team of this quality, you have, in the worst case scenario, is you just don't have home ice against Toronto.
Right.
Which I'm not overly concerned with, is that you get to be healthy. Hopefully you're healthy. Hopefully you avoid any more major injuries. But McAvoy, I don't doubt at all that he's going to play in the playoffs. I mean, with the sprained MCL, I don't doubt at all. And I think that if things were a little bit more, there was a little bit more pressure on this team, they might have rushed him back. But I think that he's back, and he gets a couple games before they go into the playoffs. Obviously, Bergeron, they have the luxury if they are, maybe not right now, but right now they might have been rushing him back and risked him getting injured further. So that big run they've been on is paying off right now.
Well, here's Bruce Cassidy yesterday talking about Charlie McAvoy and the MCL sprain that he's going to be dealing with.
Assuming it's on that timeline, he will have a little bit of time to get ready before playoffs. Again, that's still a stretch away. I don't know how that'll all play out, where we'll end up. We got to get in first, obviously. We're obviously trending that way, and we expect to, but that's goal number one. And then when Charlie comes back, how important are the games versus how important is it he gets back in the lineup? How much time will he need? And those are questions that we'll try to get out in front of him until he comes back and he's ready. They're hard to answer.
Yep. So hopefully right before the playoffs. What are they saying, like 1 week before?
Well, the regular season ends a month from tomorrow.
Right, so you get like two or three games.
Last two games are at home of the regular season.
Okay.
So that matters.
So I'm just saying, it's perfect. It lines up. He doesn't have to travel anywhere. Just walks right. He goes right in the building and plays.
Because if he had traveled to New Jersey, it would have
been very difficult.
It would have thrown a wrench
into everything. Damage to the knee. You sit on a plane, that's a problem.
That's right. You have to be on a plane for 5 minutes.
That's right. There's the taxiing. You got to sit at the gate for a while. Everyone gets on board. I mean, you don't just get on a plane and it leaves right away. That's not how it works.
I think that's how a private plane works. I think that when you get on the plane, it starts moving almost immediately.
Well, you get on the plane. Personnel has to get on. Well, team personnel has to get on the plane. They don't wait the plane for you.
Doesn't team personnel get on about a half an hour before everyone else?
No, that's not how it works.
Well, that's how it works for Zolak.
Well, Zolak's a different class of individual. Zolak was the high society guy.
Zolak probably goes in the plane and pretends he's flying it.
No,
Hey, having a fun time.
No, Zolak says that they have to get on the plane like an hour before the team does.
That's not how it works, in my experience.
You just all get on the Celtics plane?
Yeah.
At the same time?
Mm-hmm. Whoever's there gets on the plane.
Now, is it a regular-sized plane?
I think it's like a 747.
It's smaller than Aircraft One.
It's much, much smaller.
Well, there's a lot less people.
Aircraft One.
But just so you can stand up in it?
Yes.
What if you were a big guy? Can you stand up in it?
Yes.
All right. And the lavatories, are they like a normal plane or are they...
Normal plane.
Okay.
Gold plated?
No.
Because that would be the big thing, is if you could have a little extra room in the bathroom.
They do not have that.
Does it have like a good sink?
It's a regular size sink.
They don't have... but can you turn like the knobs and water comes out, or is it one of them press things?
I don't remember.
That's actually an interesting question. So like when you have guys like, you know, these huge basketball players, like when Kevin Garnett used to play on the team, like is it a regular size airplane bathroom or do they...
Regular size airplane bathroom.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
Remember we had the Big Show in here and said that he just couldn't take
that's
dumps?
That's a great story.
The wrestler, the Big Show.
Well, he had to keep the door open.
Yeah, he said he physically couldn't be in there. He couldn't cram his legs in there. So he would have to, like, use the restroom but hold the door. So if anyone kind of came in, he would go, hey, someone's in here. But you would, like, see part of a knee almost sticking out from the side.
If he had to sit down, the people in the back two rows had to suffer. And right. What are they going to do?
Well, I mean, what's that door going to do?
I mean,
if the Big Show's in there, what's that door going to do? that door is of no use.
That's just like a shield.
Yep.
It's just used as like a shield.
Yeah, I mean, that door is just, it's just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going
to
get out.
And I have a feeling that if you're sitting by the Big Show and he does have to rock the number two, that's a fairly unforgivable situation that he's in right there. I don't think that smell is going to be anything you're going to want to be near.
All right, so you're saying on the plane, normal bathrooms,
mm-hmm.
but you get a bigger seat.
Yeah, imagine the first class seats when you walk in, it's two and two on each side. Imagine that all the way back, about 19 rows of that.
Okay, but more leg room.
Yes.
Than even first class.
About the same leg room as first class, as I remember it.
And Sean Grandy flies on that?
Yes.
Okay, so they let the radio and the TV
yeah.
side? Okay.
Back two rows for the radio and the TV guys.
Okay.
And so you're stuck in the back.
Yes.
And you're by Gorman.
Yes. Gorman's right across the aisle. Yes.
All right.
And Gorman's right when I was flying on the plane. Gordon was right across from me. Scalabrini was in behind Gorman, and Maxwell was a row in front of me.
Does Scal like to hang with the players or hang with the on air people?
Hangs with the on air people.
Okay.
Yeah, and they don't serve booze on the plane.
Not that I saw. No.
Okay.
Because they do on Aircraft One, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what Zolak says.
Yeah. And I think they do on the Bruins one, because the talk is that Brickley and, not Brickley, but Beers and what's-his-face.
Brick.
Brickley. Yeah. Sit there and crush beers the entire time.
Why not? Works why over? Not?
Well, no. On traveling.
I wonder if Surratt's made any friends yet.
Nope. Not a one.
Not yet.
No. Been faced. I was like, nope, sorry, giving him the Heisman.
I mean, you're on the road. I mean, there's only like three people with you. Who the hell are you going to be friends with?
He's the new guy, you know?
Yeah.
You got to try to, weasel your way into
do you want
steak night with the guys.
Do you want to hang out with Jack Edwards? That's a no. So then you move on.
Yeah, I think Gosher and Edwards sat next to each other on the plane, if I remember right.
Right. And so there's Edwards, and then there's guys that played hockey, and they don't want anything to do with you. So you sit there, they're old NHL guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you going to sacrifice and be with Edwards all day and have him talk about aliens and everything else that he's into?
Politics.
Yeah, politics and aliens. I don't think so.
You know, back in 1776, the framers had this constitution.
Well, apparently,
and you know, the constitution isn't based on today's society.
Apparently, he has a, he loves aliens. All right. I'm not making that up. Right. Here are the headlines.
Kutcher and Rich.
.985 Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. We were talking yesterday about just how bad Shirelli's been in Edmonton and how the game has passed him by, and just look no further than Patrick Maroon and Taylor Hall. Because you looked it up yesterday, and Taylor Hall has, 30
goals.
30 goals.
30 goals. Yeah. He had a big night last night, too, if I remember.
But he didn't fit in the system in Edmonton.
Right.
They couldn't keep him around. He had attitude problems. And they got Patrick Maroon over there in New Jersey, and he's lighting it up as well. Remember, Taylor Hall was supposed to be the future of the league.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they dumped him.
That was the Sagan draft.
Yeah.
Yep. He was the first pick in that draft.
Yep. Hall had two assists last night. So 30 goals, 44 assists in 62 games.
Yeah. Good. Well done, Shirelli. You're really on top of things.
74 points. I think that's top five.
Effing weirdo. What a weirdo that guy was. Talking to him, he's like a robot.
It's amazing when you think of what's happened to Shirelli and what's happened to Claude Julien, how this team won a Stanley Cup with those two guys at the helm. It is very odd when you look back. It seems so distant now, doesn't it?
Well, because the game has changed so much since then.
Maroon, a goal and three assists in four games.
Yeah.
With New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So Shirelli, look for a long and satisfying career there in Edmonton. Where you inherited. He was supposed to be the second coming. I mean, he was supposed to come in there, and he had the pieces to build a dynasty.
The Bruins, if I remember correctly, Shirelli was the assistant GM in Ottawa, and the Bruins actually circumvented the rules and hired him before he was allowed to be hired. And, you know, they waited for him to pop available You know, he was the choice, as I remember correctly, to replace. I think it was Mike O'Connell that he replaced. But yeah, I mean, that he was like the special choice. It was Ray Shiro who turned them down and went to Pittsburgh and won a cup or two. And then it was him. It was Shirelli, as I remember it.
So they made the right decision here in Boston. Basically, that's the bottom line.
Well, with the Patriots, it looks like Kenny Britt is going to get a second season here.
No idea why.
Yeah, he picked up his contract option for next season. As you know, he played in three games while catching two passes. So there you go. Looks like the offensive firepower is ready to go.
The offseason already off to a huge start.
Yep. Well, on Tuesday, Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports reported that the Patriots won't officially hire a new defensive coordinator this season. Instead, play-calling duties are just going to fall to Brian Flores, the linebacker's coach, who won't get a formal promotion despite all the other crap they've added essentially to his regular job. So there you go. You get none of the glory, but all of the work.
I wonder if some of that is in some way that he won't leave. That they feel if they don't give him the title of defensive coordinator, people will be less apt to hire him.
Although, didn't he interview with a couple teams?
He did, yeah. And that's furthering the point.
Interviewed to Arizona for the head coaching job.
Yeah, that's why it's furthering the point. But I can't think of why you would not name him defensive coordinator.
The other part of the coin, and I was reading this last night, that you're kind of protecting him. If he makes the calls and in his first year makes a couple of really bad calls, and Bill Belichick can step in front of the train and go, well, that wasn't his call, that was mine.
No, it's very brave.
Well,
it's quite nice.
He's a hero.
It's the pro-patriot way of looking at things, but it's the other side of the coin.
That's very nice. They don't want to put undue pressure on him.
Well, and it looks like you're Sunday.
We're all going to know that he called the plays. But
you won't really know then, will you?
No.
You have no idea. Because we're behind that blue wall there. Patriot and Bill Belichick standing on that wall.
It'll be shrouded in mystery.
Mm-hmm. Well, something will not be shrouded in mystery are the arms of the refs all over the NFL. Looks like your Sunday afternoons just got a little less muscular.
A flag to the turf, and yet another false start on the Ravens.
False start offense, number 71. He's in a three-point stance, and then he lifted up his hand from the ground, which is a false start.
Thank you.
The second down.
A complete breakdown from our on-field analyst, Ted Hockley.
Did you know that pass interference is when you make contact with the receiver prior to the ball arriving in flight to the receiver's hands?
Oh, good old Ed Hockley. Guns McGillicuddy. He's hanging it up, which means the games are now 45 minutes shorter on average.
But his son is taking over for him.
Yeah, I saw that. Deuce Hockley. Deuce Hockley is going to come in there.
Is he muscular?
I looked at a quick picture of him. He did not look nearly as muscular as
because
dad.
Because, I mean, what a lame nepotism. Like, your dad's a stupid ref. And then you go in, and so what are you going to do? I'm falling in my dad's shoes. Oh, what are you going to take over, like, the textile business? No, I'm going to be a dumb ref in the NFL. What? And I like how, like, Hockley had this succession plan. You're an official. Like, you know, my son will be taking over for me. You're a ref in the NFL. You have to have another job. I mean, what are you doing?
Lifting weights.
Well, yeah, I mean, his whole... I mean. You know, I mean, how old is Hockley? Do we know?
Is he 67? I think I read. Yeah, 67 years old.
Yeah, so I'm sure that muscle was all natural. Because, you know, if you're 67, you got enough of that testosterone to build muscle on your own. I mean, there's no reason not to be cut.
He's going to those low-T clinics, I guess.
Yeah, he's getting it done.
That's right. Well, this is something that yesterday came out, and apparently it's being reported is all but a done deal, which means it's never a done deal. But the Vikings are set to offer Kirk Cousins a massive 3-year, $91 million fully guaranteed deal. And if I'm Kirk Cousins, I say, yes, this is a done deal.
Unless the Jets step up and do what we were talking about, and do like 5 years on $125 million, fully guaranteed.
Then that would be the dumbest thing
ever. Well, I mean, hey, the Jets have the cap space, and if that's the first shot, that's a starting point
for
now.
For the Vikings?
For Cousins? That's the starting point. You want me? Guarantee me $100 million.
Yeah, 3 years is nothing.
But $91 million is everything.
Doesn't matter. If guaranteed money is everything, but there are teams with more cap space, and now Cousins will go to the table and say, you want me? I have $91 million guaranteed staring me in the face. Beat that.
Yeah, the word is that he'll probably go to the Vikings, but it's between the Vikings and the Jets, and the Jets is entirely just money.
Yeah.
He said one of the things that's pissing me off about Cousins is he's like, I want a San Antonio situation. And you're like, oh, you're so lucky. You're just so lucky that you have such an inept owner. You're so lucky that you played for a team with like an idiot owner. And, I mean, let's take the foot off the brake there. Let's put the foot on the brake there a little bit, Kirk. You're not Joe Montana.
Okay, so what?
I want to put myself in a situation like the San Antonio. How about you take money and shut up? How about you take money with your overrated ass that's 0-1 in the playoffs and sucks against good teams? Your record against winning teams.
Yeah, he's about a 500 quarterback. He doesn't play well against good teams, but he is the best quarterback available.
He was also on a bad team. So yeah, that
true,
helps.
But I mean, I understand
Washington's
that.
Wasn't a bad team all that time. No. Washington wasn't a bad team. And by the way, he's the quarterback, so if they have a crappy record, that's on him as much as anyone.
By the way, so what is the record for the most guaranteed money? Because I know that Stafford got like 60 at signing, but then there's this thing called practical guarantee, and I don't know what that means. But I'm looking at a list right now, and it's got him at $92 million practical guaranteed. I don't know what the difference is.
I don't know either.
But I got to think that $91 million is, if that's not the most, I mean, you're sniffing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, practical guaranteed for Stafford, again, whatever that was, is $92 million. Guaranteed at signing was 60.5.
I couldn't tell you the difference between one or the other.
Luck got 44, and Ndamukong Suh got $60 million guaranteed at signing. But those are the highest figures I see here. It's Stafford or Sue.
Would the Jets do that? Would the Jets offer more than $91 million guaranteed?
Yeah, because then they could still, they have a ton of picks and they have a ton of money. I mean, they could afford to sign Cousins to a ridiculous deal and still go out and sign a few big-time free agents. And also, they have a million draft picks.
Listen, I'd love to see a good quarterback in the AFC East. I mean, that'd be fun. I mean, having Kirk Cousins with the Jets, I mean, makes things more interesting.
The Jets could sign Cousins and then draft a quarterback in the first round back him up.
They wouldn't. They would sign Cousins and then
Or draft a quarterback on day two. I mean,
I don't think they'd do that either. But regardless, is that they would sign Cousins and then they would try to win now. Or they would try to build that they would win within the next 3 years. But again, it's one of these things that if Cousins doesn't want, you know, if he wants to be handed an organization that's going to win and he wants to go to the Vikings, I think that's a character flaw. Much like McDaniels, is that if you don't believe that you are, if as a quarterback of a team or as a head coach of the team, you don't believe that you can turn the fortunes of a team around and you want to go somewhere where it's just handed to you, well, good. Then take it. Take the money. Take less money. Go to the Vikings, and you know, and then you better win a Super Bowl or certainly go to one, because if they give you that kind of money and they hand you that team and they hand you that coach, that's what's expected of you. And anything short of that is an abject failure.
Yeah, Cousins has been the starter the last 3 years. He's 24 and 23.
Yeah, so
they were good when RG3 was the quarterback, but when he's been the quarterback,
they went to
they've
the
been
playoffs. Yeah, but they've gone to the playoffs with him.
Yeah, 9-7 in 2015. I think that's when they went to the playoffs.
Okay, well, fair enough. Then you know what you're telling me is that Cousins is not a very good quarterback.
No, he's been good. I mean, he's completing about 70% of his passes, but, you know, 29 touchdowns, 11 picks, 25 touchdowns, 12 interceptions,
yeah, so
and
he,
27 and 13 last season.
Yeah, so I would, I don't like it when he talks like he wants to go to a team like San Antonio, because you're just like, all right, there, Kirk.
San Antonio.
No, yeah, he wants to go to a situation, team that's like San Antonio.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Situation like the Spurs.
All right.
And, yeah.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, so I go into the other room where Dan and Mike and Nick are. And Nick's got real estate up on his computer. He's looking at real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice areas, too. And there's another room here, another production studio that has no lights on.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan goes into that production studio, and all of a sudden he hears movement, and it's Nick changing clothes.
Oh. Why is he changing?
Because Rich, ever walk in a room like it's completely dark, and then all of a sudden you see a figure move? Nick, I go, put some clothes on, would you?
why are you changing?
Because I believe, because Nick is homeless. Nick is. I mean, he's homeless. He made the wise decision to sell his home before he had anything else lined up.
I think it was, please, someone take this house, you know, I'll leave as soon as someone takes this house.
Sometimes you have to do that because you don't have the money to get the new place until you sell the old one.
I don't know if it
I don't
was
think it was
financial.
That situation.
No,
I think if someone will take this from me, I'll leave immediately.
No, I mean, you should have something lined up. I mean, if you know you're going to sell the house, there's,
you know you're getting a certain amount of money.
And Nick don't care. He just floats from couch to couch.
Well, Nick also, there's a chance, a off chance that Nick is living in the building. That he is at least living part-time in the building.
Because no one would notice.
I'm not living here.
Why did you change here?
I changed my shirt in the other room.
But why?
Because I was in a rush this morning.
Okay.
And I had one in my backpack.
Why did you have a shirt in your backpack?
He's living here.
I have a change of clothes.
Do you guys keep changes of clothes in your bags?
No.
No. Okay, so no. Again, I'm going to ask you, why did you have a shirt in your backpack?
I don't know. I keep an extra shirt or something in my backpack.
Okay, why? When have you been in a situation where you need another shirt?
Plenty of times.
Did you get that from the prize closet? Are we going to have the situation
no.
again?
We've got to do this one.
Plenty of times here.
What happens to your shirt that you need to change shirts?
Well, if I'm, you know, I have another job and also...
Yeah, but it's a garbage job where you don't have to dress up for it.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
no.
All right. So, why, again, I'm asking you.
I don't know. I keep a backup shirt in my, backpack.
Is it a weird thing you have, like a freshness type thing?
You just got up and out.
Kinda, yeah.
Okay, but you just got up.
You just gave him an out. You just gave him an out.
Yes.
That's the problem, is that you just, Rich, your instincts are completely off. You just threw him a complete out of this conversation.
Because I know people who freak out over that kind of stuff.
All right,
I actually do.
You just gave him an out.
Well,
it's not why he has one, but that's what he's going to run with.
Why do you have one, then?
No, he's going to run with what you just said.
I don't know. I kept the extra shirt in my backpack.
Where do you sleep? Where are you sleeping at night?
I've been crashing at my friend's house.
Is my friend's house 83 Leo in Birmingham Parkway?
No, it's not. It's not.
Have you slept here?
No, I have not.
Okay, you have not slept here.
Nick. Besides a couple of hours before doing recaps, I came here and
have you showered here?
No, I didn't shower.
Okay, because you know there's a shower upstairs.
Yeah, where's the mysterious shower I keep hearing about?
Second floor. We got in trouble for Adolfo. One of the first times with our new program director we got yelled at was that shower. So you're not living here, but you keep an extra shirt. Now, why change the shirt this morning?
Because it was a little funky.
But why not put on a shirt at home?
Because I was in a rush this morning.
To put on a T-shirt?
I jumped out of bed, I put on my pants, and then ran out the door.
You know, it's a good thing that you had that shirt in your backpack.
I know.
Like everyone else.
Prepare for the worst.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone, keep a new T-shirt in your backpack. You never know when you might need it. And you might never, but, you know, be prepared with another T-shirt, but don't be prepared with a place to live. Just go ahead and so why'd you sell the house?
Well, I was ready to sell it, and I got an offer that...
No, but why were you selling the house?
Because I want to be closer to the city.
Okay. Well, now, where's your friend live?
Yet. What's that?
The guy you're staying with, where does he live?
He lives in Marshfield.
Okay. So you've made a lateral move. So why did you not like rent an apartment for a while?
Well, the reason why I don't have another place lined up is the buyer wanted to close so fast.
Yeah, but why didn't you just go out and get an apartment?
I'm considering it because I wanted to buy a place first. I wanted to buy a place instead of wasting money on rent.
Because, I mean, can you find a month-to-month apartment place?
Yeah, they're out there.
Okay.
But even if you took a year lease, I mean, that gives you time. You don't rush into buying a house.
I guess that's right.
All right. Well, maybe you should try having parents or someone, if anyone's responsible. How old are you?
31.
All right, good. It's good. You know, I was 31 when I moved out here.
I know.
Okay.
Somebody said we may have to redraw the new studio plans to add an apartment or at least a dressing room for Nick. Maybe he can restock the cereal and milk in the new vending machines in lieu of rent.
Right.
It'll be your job.
That's great.
There's people who sleep here a lot. But
well, Lau sleeps here during Patriots season.
Yep.
He brings a blow-up mattress and sleeps there.
Yeah, because he's producing, and the games, post-game ends at like 3 in the morning after Sunday night games, and he has to be back here for 9 or 8.
Yeah.
And he lives in Rhode Island near TF Green Airport. So.
Yeah, so he'll sleep here. I mean, back in the day, you would have sex at the radio station. I mean, back in the day, the radio station was somewhere to be proud to be. Not necessarily this one.
Hmm. But now it's just a flop house for people that sold their house in Marshfield to move to Marshfield.
Why not change in the bathroom?
That's actually a really good question.
Why did you have to do it in
that's
true.
Because it's a dark room. I understand why he used that room.
I know, but there are bathroom stalls to give you privacy.
But there's no one goes in that room. I understand.
Dan does. Several times a morning, don't you?
I understand why he changed his shirt. I changed my shirt in front of you guys. I mean, he's just changing his shirt. The question is why? The question is, why does he bring a shirt in his backpack when his job is like filling red boxes with DVDs, which, by the way, is going to be a cottage industry for the next foreseeable future because everyone's going out to Walmart and renting DVDs.